The thing about the Browns right now is I was so mad that I had to talk about lousy football on Monday. And then the news hit at 4:20 about the latest lawsuit that Deshaun is featuring this time for, an even more egregious level of sexual assault, that I immediately went, can we go back 20 minutes and just talk bad about football again?
Right. And I don't know which is worse. I don't know what's less fixable. I don't know which is worse. I know which one is more difficult to talk about, because I'm fine ripping on Deshaun Watson as a quarterback all day long because he has been that bad of a quarterback for the Browns. But when you're talking about another lawsuit that I think is, Nick, so much different than all the other ones we've dealt with, because when you go back and you look at what we talked about in regards to Deshaun's off the field stuff when he first arrived in Cleveland, whatever the number of cases was, for the most part, all the details were pretty similar. I don't want to say they were cookie cutter cases, but not much changed from one case to the next if you really dove into it. This is drastically different. I think this is worse. I'm very curious to see how the NFL handles this. Very curious to see how the Browns handle this. We don't have a lot of answers other than it just looks like the quarterback did another really bad thing that maybe the Browns didn't know about when they traded for him.
So I think, as we kind of are contrasting this, I think what is interesting, who was that? Was that a parrot?
That was my chair.
That was your chair? How is the skinny guy making fat people sounds in a chair, and the fat guy is quiet as a church mouse over here?
Because it's hump day, man.
Do you have a hearty breakfast recently?
No.
Did you have
I ate healthy today. I ate a bunch of fruit.
Today. Got to look at those.
Nick, I am one of the worst eaters you will ever meet. I have the palate of a six-year-old.
Uh-huh.
I eat terribly. I don't like vegetables very much. I am one of the worst eaters you will ever meet.
I'm obese.
Yes.
So I... Maybe amongst,
but the thing is,
maybe
I'm not
normal sized people crowd. Like when you go out, people are like, oh man, we got to deal with Captain No Broccoli over here.
Yeah.
My people, the obese, Wolf of Wall Street, rookie numbers. You got to pump those rookie numbers up. Oh, you had a piece of asparagus? Tim last had asparagus in 1972.
See, I would have guessed you just had more asparagus and more of everything.
I actually really would do have been, like asparagus.
See?
Yeah. Yeah, I will house some cereals.
I don't. Like, it's fine. If it's extra crispy, it's okay. But it's not great. I'm not dying to get asparagus.
So, to contrast the...
Yeah, let's see how you get this back on track.
Well, that's half the magician act there. By the way, great English language for me right there.
Bravo.
Landed the plane. No, I think to contrast this, I think with Deshaun's play, one game can make the difference in how everybody feels. Like if he goes out and let's throw gaudy stats, 325, four touchdowns, an extra 30 yards on the ground, another touchdown on the ground, and you house the Jags on the road. Oh, cool. I didn't know that was possible.
Right.
And the polarity there shifts very quickly. The thing about lawsuits and sexual assault allegations, when there have already been a sea of them earlier, even if it's from the same time period, you just know that this isn't, there's no shortcutting this. Whether it's from the NFL side of things, who have been very slow to act on these things with the commissioner exempt list, whether it is the legal process, whether it is the Browns, any NFL team's handling is essentially, it's a league matter, it's not an us matter. Which means you will be steeped in this. And by the way, it's not predictable at when you're... Like, okay, if I guaranteed you right now, Deshaun's going to have a good game this weekend, for the next week at least, you know, vibes are up. Aura points are up.
Yes.
But the unknown of when that next piece of thing is going to be leaked at any given moment, at any given time, that is a different... weight hanging over your head than simply bad football.
Well, and it to me, Nick, it's not in if there's going to be another thing that's going to be leaked or there's going to be another bad thing that happened. It feels more like a win. And I don't think because of Deshaun Watson's history, I don't think that's an unfair way to feel. Like, that's what the track record is. Now, that said, I also have come to expect bad football from him too. Like, it's not a... if he's going to have a bad game for me, it's he's going to go out and have a bad game this week. Like, I would be more surprised than anything if he goes out and just lights it up in Jacksonville on Sunday. That would be stunning to me.
So I think the most stunning thing would be Deshaun goes out this weekend and lights it up. I will say, I think some of what you just said there is probably informed a lot by one game. Like, I'm not...
Is it, though? Because all offseason, we had to hear about he had one good half against Baltimore. And when the rest of that play wasn't great, and people can look at his record, okay, congratulations for beating Clayton Tune and looking good against what was one of the worst football teams I've ever seen last year in the Arizona Cardinals, and looking okay for, looking pretty good for a half against a bad Tennessee team. Like, we had to hear all offseason about, well, that's the second half Deshaun had against Baltimore, which, by the way, came before a surgery on his throwing shoulder. It would just stun me because we don't have precedent. Take away all the off-the-field stuff. There's no precedent for a player who was a Pro Bowl caliber guy to play 12 games in 3 years, have surgery on his throwing arm, and then be good again.
So, to what you're saying, though, I even think, like, why can't we just give the guy credit for playing better last year, even if we acknowledge that better wasn't where it needs to be? Because I do think, like, why does the recency of the Dallas game, why does that take precedence to this degree? And then the recency of the three last games we saw him in, like, you completely picked apart. By the way, what you did with the Deshaun Baltimore game, I can do that with Mahomes. You don't do it because he's consistently great,
right,
even when he is inconsistent within a game.
Right.
So I do understand that fact, but I think it's interesting that you, like, you can't even give, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying if you say, well, it's only a half against Baltimore, a half against Tennessee, and you played against a bad Arizona team, aren't we telling on ourselves just a little bit the idea that you can't even give credit for the guy playing good football, that the second negative happens, it gets amplified and distorted and volumized to a level that is honestly, weight is the best word for it, versus when there are those rays of hope or instances where you could give him his flowers, as it were, that is tamped down, picked apart, and, well, I guess it really isn't that impressive. I do think that's an interesting disparity. As we all talk, like the collective we, the royal we, talk about this.
I think, one, the Dallas game matters more because it's the game coming off of a shoulder surgery. If Deshaun played the entire year last year, and let's say he didn't look great, but he looked okay at times. Let's just say he was an average quarterback, and he goes out and has the same exact game he had this past Sunday, but didn't have a shoulder surgery before it, right? I think he gets more of a pass. But because it's his first game back from shoulder surgery, and he's not been great before then, I have no reason to believe he's going to get to the level that he needs to be at. And then the other reason why, it's not giving him credit for being good, it's that the instances of him being good are so, for me, outweighed because he's been bad so much more often than he's been good.
So I think that's the other thing, because people use words like excuses versus reasons and all this with Deshaun. So to where you are with it, I do think, like, I less want to give Deshaun a pass, and I think very few people, and this is not me trying to toot my own horn on this, I think very few people can get to a spot where they're level with Deshaun, one way or another. And it has become some accentuation of the Baker Wars, the Sashi Wars, all the different things that we've had, the Dorsey Wars, literally, all the wars.
A lot of wars.
We've had.
A lot of wars.
But almost to a point that I've never seen before, where even within, you know, like, I'll be honest, guys, the Baker bro thing was a made-up thing. There are people like Baker. There were. And there are people that didn't like Baker. Most people were, how well did he play on Sunday?
Right.
This is not that.
Well, because
we've gotten to a point where I don't know if good football is enough now between Sunday and between the latest allegations, the latest lawsuit, which the reason why I bring that up is it's as if there was no good football in 13 games. Like, there's a refusal to admit, because the only thing we could admit is, well, it's not 2020 or 2019 Deshaun Watson. And again, I think that speaks to the psyche of Cleveland sports fans and the Cleveland media after having dealt with the weight of this thing for 2+ years now.
And it's not that there's been no good football. I think that's overblown. I think people that say that are lying to themselves and to everybody else. But I think that there has been more bad football from number four than good football from Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. That is why I have the opinion I have, because I have not seen him be consistently good while wearing an orange helmet since he was in college. It's been a really long time since I've seen that. Was he awesome in Houston once upon a time? He was, but that stuff doesn't matter anymore. It shouldn't matter to anyone anymore. What matters is that when he's been in Cleveland over the course of 2 years in a game, 13 games total, there's been more consistent bad football than good football. And there have been excuses, some of them viable, some of them I think a reach. But the fact of the matter is he's not been good enough, and I don't have a reason to believe he is going to be good enough. And then you add on the new allegation, and it's just like, well, do we even want to root for this guy to be good enough, or do we want to root for the Browns to find a loophole out of this?
So I think, getting back, did you feel that way before the Dallas game?
I feel stronger about it after Dallas. I did not go into Sunday expecting Deshaun to look great. I didn't expect him to look as bad as he did.
Yeah.
He looked worse than I thought he was going to. I didn't think he'd be a top quarterback. I thought he would look a little bit below average, and I thought he was terrible.
What I think is, and I agree he was terrible on Sunday. There's no polishing or spinning that.
Right.
I just think it's interesting how much weight one game, no matter how bad he looked, has. I think that speaks to the level of quiet leading into this season from a lot of folks, including fans, into how loud things have been this week. And again, now we can't disassociate the two, but I think this has, for a lot of people, I still think the on the field is the problem, because if the on the field wasn't a problem, the off the field would be an annoyance instead of a 10-ton anvil above your head.
It would be thought of as a distraction, and that's probably wrong because of the seriousness of this allegation, but it would be thought of as, this is another distraction to the Browns if they were playing well. Because they're not playing well, it's like, okay, well, maybe this is a way to get them off the team.
I will say, Deshaun, I believe you're in a different boat.
I don't think, and I don't know everyone in that scrum, but I don't think anyone else is in the same boat as him.
Yeah. Or maybe even the same ocean, I would say. Maybe some of them are on the land and Deshaun is in the ocean, vice versa. I'm just saying, like, I don't know everyone's aquatically based when it comes to comparing their situations to Deshaun. And I actually, because we're going to play something that I think is, there's a part of it that I kind of chuckled at. And then there were several unintentionally funny parts of Deshaun's press conference.
There
today.
Were, yes.
There was also some humanity in it, in a way that I think, like, I hope that, you know, almost like in radio when you air check yourself, I hope Deshaun listens to the one or two things in the clip we're about to play you, because I do think there are things that he can say. Like, even that was an attempt at Deshaun, as flat as it felt, that was an attempt of Deshaun to
feel personal.
Yes, to I don't want to say be vulnerable. There was nothing about it,
relatable.
To relate to the reporter that asked the question.
Yes.
So I think that instinct, if that's what he was going for today, is actually a good instinct. I do think the execution was flawed, but I think, and this is the thing that, again, I know when we say, hey, there were moments from three games last year that it really looked like he was close to putting it all together. And I know we've picked that apart. And, oh, that's low-hanging fruit, or it's, you shouldn't give him credit for that because that's a bare expectation. I will give him credit for showing up to his press conference today.
Sure. I mean, he had to do it. Like, you have to speak to the media every week. You do when you're an active starting quarterback in the league. So does he get credit? Sure, but I'm not going to be like, wow, I'm so impressed because someone did the bare minimum of what was required of them.
Ooh, okay, so I'll disagree that today was the bare minimum. I mean, him showing up is the bare minimum.
That's what I'm talking about,
but I think you could have done that in a lot of different ways, including putting it off till Friday and treating it as a Friday news dump.
Mm-hmm.
So agreeing to do the Wednesday press conference, which is what most NFL quarterbacks, if not all starting quarterbacks, do. I do think there is, I can give him some credit on at least showing up and not playing the game and not doing what I think he's done too often, which is hide himself away or be hidden him. You know, I'm not saying it's all his decision.
No.
So, and I do think today there was an attempt at brevity, or there was an attempt at relatability, as we've talked about.
Right. I don't know that it went the way he thought it would go. Like, when you go through this and you envision what it's going to be like in your head, I don't know that it went the same way he thought it would go. I certainly don't think it was received that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he did give some sort of attempt, yes.
Yes. And so I think within, I thought it was really important, and I don't remember who asked it, but Deshaun was asked about the relationship between the guys in the locker room and how things are going. And obviously there was the Joe Batonio laying on his back like a turtle, and Deshaun offered him a hand. He slapped the hand away. Everybody assumed to some degree that was, oh, Joe Batonio hates Deshaun Watson. I tend to side with Joe Thomas, who had a great explanation of big guys can get kind of frustrated being turtled on your back. And it was probably a moment where Joe was frustrated and it had less to do with Deshaun than where Joe was that day.
Yes, and listen, I played football in college. Like, I'm not going to act like I was some superstar, but I played with guys that were about Joel Batonio's size. You couldn't help them up. Like, they have to get up on their own. They can't help each other up. They cannot do that. Like, it is just as Joe Thomas explained it, that is exactly how it is. It's really difficult when you weigh what Joel Batonio weighs at his size to just get up off your back. But you cannot do that with shoulder pads on.
Tell me about it, girl. You can't do it without shoulder pads on if you're...
Well, you can't do it without shoulder pads on. Joel Batonio might be able to.
I do it every day, you son of a...
You get up just normally? Yeah. You don't have to do the turtle without shoulder pads on? Lying on the floor?
What do you think? Lying on the floor? How many times? I can't get... Now, Sid, that's not fair. Getting off the floor is different.
But
rolling out of bed?
That's different because you can roll off the side. Joel Batonio could roll off the side of the field.
Don't speak to me like you know the plight of a fat man.
I don't. Right?
Don't speak to me like you got...
I'm making assumptions here.
You got the deets on this one there, friend.
But I have a feeling I'm not wrong.
As a fat, I am tremendous at getting off the floor. Although not that quickly, all right? But that's more to do with we're not trying to wreck the bank here. Now, while we talk about this, you know, Deshaun was asked, because I think the Joe Batonio thing was the simple blown out of proportion thing on social media. And not that anyone cares. I thought it was unfair to Deshaun. I thought it was unfair to Joel.
I agree.
But I do think the question about Deshaun and how this all plays in the locker room, because everything in football, everything in life is... When it comes to coworkers, is a meritocracy. When it comes to people giving you jobs, people paying you money, what they're going to pay you, that's relationships. That's a lot of things that have nothing to do with a meritocracy, right? When it comes to the relationship between your coworkers, that's exactly what that is. So I do think it's an interesting idea. Have we reached this critical mass where the football has not been good enough to substantiate every other thing that comes with this? Deshaun took a kind of stab at this earlier today, and there is one or two things here that I think you hear a genuine attempt by Deshaun. There also is one or two unintentionally humorous things here.
Clear standing in the locker room based on what they do on the field versus off the field.
I missed the first part.
How much of a player's standing, reputation in the locker room, your captain, how much of that is based on what you do on the field versus off the field?
Can you explain exactly what you're asking, though?
What's the balance? Like, how much of your status in the locker room, ability, like, leadership, how much of guys trusting you come from what you do, you know, during games versus what you do outside of games?
So you're saying, like you're trying to, like, I'm serious. I'm trying to figure out what are you asking, like the off the field stuff compared to on the field stuff mixing together. Well, as far as
you've been in a lot of locker rooms, how much of your teammates trusting you come from what you do on the field versus off?
I mean, the trust has always been there. You know, so I think the guys, they trust me. If there's anything that's out there, I mean, you can go ask any one of those guys and they'll give you an honest answer, you know. So, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but for what, you know, the guys been showing me and what they tell me and shake my hand and come to my locker and on the field dab me up and say to my face, this, you know, that's what they're saying, that they trust me, so...
Do you feel the need to have a conversation with them when something pops up in the...
No, because they know my character. They see me each and every day. They know exactly who I am. And I think that's the difference. When you around me each and every day, you know my aura, you know my energy, you know my character. I think you'll understand who I really am.
So I think the person trying to ask the question, and I don't think people realize how hard it is to ask these questions in a way that is respectful while also being direct enough.
It's tough.
So I actually think... I think this was a awkward question, awkward answer, because I think the person asking the question was trying to be super respectful in the way they asked it.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't understand what took Deshaun Watson so long to get to that answer.
Because I was trying to listen for the same thing that he was. I don't think we got to the question until the third part. I think the most genuine part of that is Deshaun staying patient and Deshaun going back and saying, I promise I'm not doing this. Like, that was a very human moment from Deshaun.
Sure.
That I think Deshaun, at a lot of other moments, would have kind of been dismissive of. Now, that being said, I don't know how much I can make of the rest of the answer when it comes to, you know, well, they know my character. They come up and, you know, shake my hand. You know NFL locker rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely is it open warfare or open, I don't like that guy.
Right. And what do NFL players care about in these situations?
Wins and money.
Exactly. I don't know how many players in the Browns locker room care about what is going on with Deshaun Watson off the field. What I believe everybody in that locker room cares about is how well does Deshaun Watson play or how poorly does Deshaun Watson play on the field. Those are the things that NFL players care about. And then they care about their own bank accounts. Like, they don't necessarily care about how much money Deshaun Watson is making. They don't care about how much money he lost or didn't lose in a suspension. They don't care about a contract restructure for Deshaun Watson. They care about the play on the field. That's what it is.